This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Final hour of the Q, or EBGP, or whatever you want to call this thing. It's a Sunday. It's the Fan and Eric Bickle, Grant Paulson, hanging out with you until noon. That's what matters.
I like the Q. I like the quarantine. I like
it. You like that? All right,
yeah.
Let's go with it. Let's
I like it, the Q.
Set it in stone. We'll put it in Sharpie. The Q, the quarantine.
Don't get me wrong. I'm ready to break out of this thing as soon as they say it's safe. I'm ready. Let's do this.
You're gonna go. In case you're wondering, I'm wearing a long sleeve, kind of like a Carolina blue Barstool Sports shirt and gym shorts.
I can't see. I got you on Zoom. I can't see.
So this is where I'm at right now.
All right.
All right. And then I'm wearing some gym shorts, no shoes, no socks right now. EB, you're a little bit more decked out than I am.
Decked out. I mean, I'm wearing
a. You've got a big woolly hat on.
Yeah. And I've got my Marist lacrosse sweatshirt and sweatpants. I literally crawled out of bed and sat in this chair.
What time are you waking up right now?
Well, I mean, during the week, I'm waking up at 5:15.
Well, no, obviously for work, but I'm saying, like, when you can sleep in on the weekends, what time are you waking up?
I have slept – since the quarantine, I've slept in one day, and that was yesterday.
Because really?
Yeah, because any other weekend day, that's when I've gotten up at, like, 4 in the morning to go to the grocery. So since I – ordered my groceries from Target and Instacart, I didn't have to get up yesterday, so I've slept in exactly one day this whole quarantine. Dude, morning sucks.
Listening to the Junkies for 20 years now plus, like I have, I've heard you say the grocery for grocery store a million times, and I've always thought it was
funny. It makes people crazy. Yeah, I know.
It drives me out of my mind. How long have you done that? Like, what is the backstory on that? Is that just how your mom
maybe
said
it's
or something?
Yeah, maybe it's like a farmer thing or something. You know, my mom grew up on a farm, and she just said, I'm going to the grocery.
But, and like, that's when you were a kid, that's what it was. You weren't going to the store. You were going to the grocery.
Yeah, the grocery.
Do you hear anyone else say that at this point?
I don't care or pay attention. I was raised, I'm going to the grocery, what do you need?
Yeah. That's
Why
great.
Is it wrong? Because you have to say store after it?
It's not wrong. I mean, it's
because I do have
it.
One guy in particular, I think, that just hounds me.
Like, no, I think for most people, they hear it. It's not a phrase that you would ever hear anyone else say. I hear
Why? Because everyone says, I'm going to the grocery store.
A lot of people just say, I'm going to the store. I'm going to the grocery store.
Well, you're being specific. Store could be you're going to Macy's.
I guess that's true. Yeah. Most people would say, I'm going shop. You know, I'm going to get groceries. I'm going to the supermarket. Right. I've never heard anyone else say grocery. I'm not telling you.
I mean,
it's
I'm
wrong.
Probably using it incorrectly. It's probably some hillbilly thing that my mom gave me.
But you know how many of those I have where, like, my mom would say something one way and I still say it now, and people go, how on earth do you do that? Just because that's how I learned it.
Right.
Like, past tense of win. Like, they blanked the game yesterday. What would you say?
Of win? They won the game yesterday.
They won the game. Yeah. I say they won the game. J-U-A-N Dixon. Juan
Why
Dixon.
Do you say that?
Because that's how my mom says it.
Gotcha.
So, like, growing up, I always heard they won. And so I say, like, a player at Maryland, Dixon, they won the game, and it drives people out of their mind. The Redskins won yesterday when right. It's actually that they won. Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Welcome onto the show, our buddy Chris Miles, NBC Sports Washington locally, NBA TV nationally. And we wanted to talk to him about this tournament that could happen. Whether it's 3-on-3 or otherwise, or possibly now a horse challenge between some various NBA players. Chris, first of all, how's NBA TV getting by? I mean, what kind of programming are they doing, and how are they going about, you know, putting shows together right now? I know last time I talked to you, you guys were having a big meeting about how you were going to handle this.
Well, there's several things. The first thing is, it's in New Orleans, it's making groceries, which drove me insane when I moved there from New York. So just getting to that, I heard you guys talking about that. I was like, making groceries has to be the craziest thing I've ever
heard. Hold on. Use that in a sentence. How does that work?
Time to go making. It's time we're going to go making groceries. Who's ready to go making groceries? That's how they say it.
I mean, that drives me out of my mind. That is insane.
Right. And that's like they could be going to Walmart, right. But if they're picking up any sort of food, it's making groceries.
Right. Well, see, there's something weird about the grocery word. I don't know. It's got there's some cultural thing there. I don't know what it is. Mine's just like a hillbilly thing. That's what it has to be.
Well, to answer your actual question, what we're doing now is we've all set up essentially home studios.
Right.
Where, and you've seen this with a bunch of TV stations, and we're just using, whatever app for that particular day. I believe one day we use Zoom, the next day, I downloaded some sort of app, and I use my laptop to get it done. But it's just interesting because, all of us on real talent, if you're a reporter or an anchor, you get it going and it's all smooth. But it's really the stars of the shows that we've been having issues with them and their Wi-Fi connection. We were supposed to have Chris Webber on the show one day, and it crapped out. And I was like, Sue Webb, how do you not have good internet access? I thought that was the craziest thing in the world. And then we had Jonathan Isaac of the Orlando Magic. So we've had a couple of different players from around the league, and it's interesting because one of the main things that sticks with me is that some of the guys are saying this is the longest time in their lives that they haven't played basketball.
Right.
They don't have a hoop at home, and Isaac is doing like knee rehab. He's got the person coming over to his house, and they're doing all the quarantine stuff before they get there. They work on his knee, and then they leave, and that's the only person he's having human contact with. It's crazy.
Yeah, I feel bad for guys that like if they don't have a home gym, they can't like NFL guys. How are they staying in shape? Push-ups? You can only go so far.
Doing the Herschel Walker plan, man. You're doing the Pete Medhurst prison routine where you're like, you just find a flat surface and you're using your body weight.
Right. No, for sure. It's brutal. All right, so what do you make of this horse idea? I'm actually for it. I love it. I told Grant, I'm older than you guys, so I remember like in the late 70s, early 80s, seeing like Pete Maravich and Larry Bird and these guys do these horse things at halftime of All-Star games. I'm all about it. I'm assuming they're going to be each doing it from their own gyms, or are they all going to be together in one gym? What is the best of your understanding of this?
No, they're going to be in different gyms. That's
right.
For sure, because there's no way to travel. So, if you get two guys that are even on the same team, but they're not even in the same town, I mean, that would be logistically a nightmare. I think it's pretty cool in this sense. You'll be surprised at guys that could really shoot and guys who you would think would win. And they pick a specific spot on the court. I don't know if you've ever seen this, Grant, but I have the video where I beat Victor Oladipo in horse, and he legit was like kind of a little annoyed with me at the fact that I beat him in horse, because it's like, yeah, he's in great shape. You can dunk from wherever, but you're shooting a basketball of a different, weird, odd talent that some of these guys, I mean, like Channing Frye. Like, I would put my money on Channing Frye to win a game of horse against some of your favorite players. You know what I mean?
Right,
it's the weirdest thing in the world. So I think it could be interesting, the fact that we don't have any sports. I think if you got a bunch of NBA players or NFL players to, like, play poker or play spades, we would all tune in right now just to kind of see how these guys are doing. And I think that's really the key to that, is we get to interact with them again, to get to see them do something competitive. It's not going to be like watching a game. I don't think any of us think that, but I think it'd be cool.
No, it'd be content. And as I said to Grant, Ryan Zimmerman did like a Zoom thing. I don't even know who he was doing it with, but he gave a tour of his house, he and his wife. It was amazing. So if LeBron is playing horse, I know he did it the other day when he was showing off his Jordans, right? It was like Jordan Appreciation Day or whatever the heck it was. I'm not a sneaker guy where I know that, but and he was given a tour of all his shoes. I can imagine LeBron giving a tour of his gym, maybe a little tour of his house. Same thing if he's playing against, Victor Oladipo or whoever. I think it'd be amazing. I'm all in.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of shirtless LeBron already.
Yeah, exactly.
I give LeBron credit. Wherever he is, it's always warm enough for him to just be in shorts. I kind of feel like 90 degrees is a threshold for just shorts. Now, I'm not built like LeBron, but what I'm saying is, if I go for a jog, you ever see those people going for a jog and they have, like, their shirts off and it's, like, 50 degrees? You kind of go, all right, I don't know if you're comfortable here. You're probably just showing off. But LeBron's one of those guys. If it was 50 degrees, he'd be walking around with his shirt off.
Bro, if I had LeBron's body, I would never wear a shirt. I'm just going to tell you right now. Chris Miles, NBA TV, with us. EB and GP on the queue here on this Sunday morning. How about this, the 3-on-3 tournament? We were trying to work out the practicality and how pragmatic it even is to try to put that together. I mean, could you get to a point where you test 12 guys, you know that they're clean, you get them into a gym, whoever's close enough to play in the same gym, and you put together some type of mini tourney we could watch?
With NBA players, I think they should stay as far away from that as possible for a number of reasons. You look at what happened with the Big Three. And I want to say it was Jason Williams in the first game, tore his Achilles or ACL or whatever it was. It was just horrible to see. Like, the last thing you want if you're an NBA team is to do this 3-on-3 thing to just try to, you know, maybe appease the television contract you have with ESPN or, you know, whatever the motivation is behind it from a financial standpoint. The last thing you want is someone getting hurt because, you know, right now if they do resume the postseason, we're thinking, well, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving should be able to play, right? I mean, that changes the Eastern Conference. You look at Giannis, who had a knee injury. Like, he should be healthy if he comes back, and LeBron's got rest. Like, those are some of the positives that these teams are possibly taking from it. But if you have, like, a 3-on-3 tournament and someone gets banged up or gets hurt, that's the last thing you want, especially if you're going to actually have a postseason.
Chris Miles is with us, EB and GP here on 106.7 The Fan. Should we now completely punt on the postseason? If Trump does the chat you were referencing with commissioners, and we're trying to figure out what's next, and he's talking about football in September and maybe August getting people back in arenas. Look, if August is the first time we could have fans in the crowd, then obviously they're not going to have a postseason with fans in the crowd. Is it over? I mean, is there still hope? What are you guys saying about that?
No. Okay, so I don't know how much information I can disclose, but I'll just say this. We had a very serious talk on Thursday, I believe. Okay, and here's the reality of it. The reality is this. They don't want to go past Labor Day. And anything you heard of, oh, the NBA would just shift their season to avoid the NFL, that's the only thing that's not on the table. They don't want to do that. Their priority is to make sure that next season starts on time. Okay, so if the postseason would go past Labor Day, they would just cancel the postseason. So you're correct there that if August is the start date, it's probably not happening. But whatever they want to do, their main goal is to make sure the start of next season in October is intact. That is the main goal. Nothing has been canceled yet. They're not looking at it as, hey, we can't start in July, we can't start in August. But I think realistically, July is the start date. But as far as this thing going past Labor Day, that's not happening. I mean, that's a hard Labor Day weekend. No NBA postseason plans or past that.
I'm buying it. Makes sense to me. I hope you're right. I hope they can figure out a way to pull it off. I'm just seeing that one of the guys, that's doing one of these, these Sunday morning political shows is saying the way to get people back to work and back to doing our thing is we have to have the universal testing, and it has to be like, it's so easy. You just take a test, you show you're clean for the day, and boom, you go off and do your thing. You know the NBA could do that. Let's do it. They can afford those tests. Let's do it.
Well, the interesting thing is, so they have the thought concept is they have the West Coast venue set up for July. So, for instance, the Western Conference playoffs would be in Las Vegas. We all know that. I think that's reported everywhere. They don't have a venue or necessarily an area for the Eastern Conference. And what you have to think is it has to be big enough to have multiple games in the same city where you could almost lock down that area that you're just bringing in the players. I mean, but they keep saying that, and I'm like, well, what about the workers? You know, what about the people serving food or preparing food? What about media? Who's allowed, who's not allowed? Are you only going to have the, you know, broadcasters calling the game? There's not going to be a post-game press conference. Those are all things that are being considered as they're trying to figure it out.
Chris, always love having you on, buddy. Thanks for hopping aboard, and we look forward to watching you talk about games here as soon as we can. Much appreciated, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, I'm out here making groceries today, fellas.
Nice.
Make those groceries.
Be safe, man.
Is weirder than the grocery for sure.
Yeah.
Eric and Grant with you on the fan. We got 45 minutes left before Danny and Pete today. Still have a few things I want to get into with you, including D'Angelo Hall going hard this week that he does not think it's a lock Dwayne Haskins starts over Kyle Allen. In fact, he's worried about Dwayne Haskins keeping his starting job. We can get into that next here on the fan. With Eric, I'm Grant. This is the Q106.7, the fan. D'Angelo Hall was on NFL Network this week, and he made the case that he's not sure Dwayne Haskins is going to be the starter for the Redskins, which amazed me. I was really surprised by it, Eric, because, you know, he was viewing Kyle Allen as an acquisition, as a threat to Haskins. I think of Kyle Allen, all due respect to the player, as a clipboard-holding, visor-wearing backup, a guy that, yes, he did play for Scott Turner and Ron Rivera in Carolina, and yes, presumably they liked him, but from what I was told, they like him as a backup. They like him coming in here knowing the offense, weird offseason, not going to have a chance to be on the grass as much, so, you know, why not bring in a guy with some upside who had some good games, who threw some touchdowns without throwing some picks, who won a couple games for a bad Panthers team while playing well at the helm in Charlotte. But D'Angelo Hall views him as a guy who could push Dwayne Haskins, which I find kind of odd. I don't believe that necessarily. I think if Haskins is getting knocked out of the starting job by Kyle Allen, we got major issues here. Because if we're viewing him as if they just went and got Winston or Cam Newton and now Haskins is looking over his shoulder because they have Kyle Allen, then Haskins probably isn't the guy anyway.
Well, I think that's his point. Here's the thing. I agree with you. I don't think, but I also agree with D. Hall. I don't think they acquired him thinking he's going to be the starter. They acquired him to be the backup. I think what D is simply saying is, from what I've seen so far, I'm not quite convinced that he can beat him out, especially given the offseason the way it is. He's not getting any reps. He's throwing to high school guys somewhere, right? He's not getting into his playbook and with the coaching and everything that he needs. And with some alleged work ethic stuff that hopefully got better towards the end of last season, that you still might have a situation where he can't beat out Kyle Allen. I don't think that that's an outrageous point. And yes, it is a disaster if that occurs. They did not bring Kyle Allen in here to be the starter. But again, if there's a true competition, it's the same thing as the RG3 Kirk Cousins thing. If you had a true competition, Kirk Cousins was going to beat him out. It took a while for that to actually play out. But, you know, if you had a true competition, even on day, that's why Robert was so paranoid about it, because he knew it.
So I
think that he could lose potentially a competition to a guy that's his third year in the league, that has 15 games he's played in this system. He would have a natural advantage potentially over a young kid who's raw, who's still learning how to, you know, call plays at the line of scrimmage, call plays in the huddle. It's a new offense, no offseason. I don't think that kid in an open competition is necessarily going to win it.
If the priority is to try to win as many games in September and October as possible, then maybe Kyle Allen gives you a better chance to do that. I don't think that's Ron Rivera's plan. Their entire offseason has kind of worked against that. I mean, they have not tried to improve by bringing in high-end talent. They've made 1- and 2-year, very short-term, low-money deals, kind of taking flyer on guys as if to say they're building this thing over many years. They're not putting any money and risks into long-term development right now of star players. So I think they're going to go with Haskins because he's got the upside. They got to know at the end of this year whether he's the guy or not. And if that means he struggles more than Allen would, who knows the offense, so be it. And that's kind of my confidence in them sticking with Haskins. Look, his last 6 quarters before he got hurt again last year, because he got hurt a couple times, were actually pretty good. And if he can carry that over, theoretically he should be able to out-duel Allen. I know that he knows the offense better, but to me, this year should be about finding out what Haskins is, because even though last year wasn't ideal with the coaching staff fighting against the owner and not necessarily agreeing on him, and this year is not going to be opportune because of now COVID-19 in the offseason, I'm not giving him a third year just because things haven't been perfect. I got to know at the end of this season if he's the guy or not. And the more he's on the field, the better. But this was D'Angelo Hall. We had him on. So we heard him on NFL Network making these comments. We played the clips. I'd reached out to him. He came on Grant and Danny, did a really good interview with us on Friday. And this is part of what he had to say about the quarterback situation.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm absolutely worried for Haskins keeping the job, because I want to see this organization in a good place in 5 years, in 10 years, and, you know, in the next 2-3 years, not necessarily just next season. And so if you, you know, if you think about how this offseason already has unfolded, you know, it's very similar to the year of the lockout where you're not going to get a lot of time with your teammates is looking like. And so knowing that Kyle Allen has the advantage of knowing this offense, of having played in meaningful games, you know, with this coaching staff, you know, those guys trust him. And, you know, to bring him into a quarterback room that, you know, that has Dwayne Haskins, a young, impressionable player who's still trying to figure out who he is as a player in this league, who had great success in college. You know, I've always felt like if you're going to give the keys to a guy, give the keys to the guy. Don't put anybody behind him, especially in this situation that's going to just cause any type of distraction or any added pressure to Dwayne Haskins. And bringing in a guy like Kyle Allen, does he help this football team? Absolutely. Will he hurt, in some way, Dwayne Haskins' progression? I think so.
And what I said to D'Angelo, and we kind of went back and forth on, was I completely agree with the idea if we're talking about them bringing in Cam or bringing in Jameis Winston. 100%. Kyle Allen's not on that level. He says don't put someone behind him that's a threat or a distraction. If he's a threat or a distraction, then Haskins is not the guy. I mean, if you can't bring in Kyle Allen because he's, quote-unquote, like too good or too plugged in on the offense, then we need to be having a different conversation probably right now.
No. Kyle Allen is the perfect backup. Perfect. It was the perfect signing. I would have been upset if they signed Cam or Jameis because those guys clearly also would beat him. There's just no question.
Agreed.
They signed the perfect guy. I think with D. Hall, he's just raising the red flag. I don't care what he says. He's not sold that Haskins is the guy. That's what his comment is telling you. I'm not sold he's the guy.
Yeah, and to your point, EB, you can't say that he might get beat out by Kyle Allen and also say that Dwayne Haskins is the guy. You know what I'm saying? You can't think both of those. So he obviously is skeptical.
He's
of
not
Haskins.
Sold on him. He's not sold on him. That's all he's saying. He's not sold on him. And frankly, I'm trying to be optimistic, and I loved what I saw towards the end. But deep down, I'm not sold on him either. And if they had an open competition, I'm not convinced he would beat him. But to your point, and I think it is a good point, that if you want to just say, listen, even if the kid's not better than him now, we got to play him because we invested a 15th pick overall in him, and we got to see if he's the guy now. We don't have time to, okay, sure, Kyle Allen can beat him in this thing. He knows that he can practice better. I got to see if this kid, what he does under the bright lights in real games, and then we'll move on. I could see a scenario where they gave him 6 games, and if he's flailing, they just move on. I don't think he has 16 games guaranteed to him. I don't think he does. If he's a disaster, I think eventually they'll pull the plug.
Oh, no, you can't give anyone 16 games if they're a disaster. I mean, if he's terrible and it doesn't work and you bench him, fine. But if they bench him in week 6, 7, 8, something like that, then it's over. I mean, in year two.
It shouldn't be.
In his first year in this offense with these coaches, if they're benching him to go to Kyle Allen in the second season after last year, look, no one should be sold. If you're sold that he's the next great quarterback in Washington, I mean, you're lying to yourself. But also, if you're convinced that he's not, I would say that you made up your mind before the season started last year anyway. The fact is this, if you're just looking at performance, he was mostly not good enough, and he was mostly bad. But the last 2 games, 6 quarters, he got hurt at the first play of the second half against the Giants in week 16, and he didn't play in week 17. So the last 6 quarters he played, 4 quarters against the Eagles in week 15, really good game, 2 quarters against the Giants, very impressive. That sample gives you some hope.
A little bit of hope.
Gives you some optimism. Before that, EB, I was petrified. I was alarmed. I was sounding every alarm bell in this city saying, I'm just not sure about this. Those 6 quarters have me no longer reaching for the panic button. But that's as far as it is. I mean, I'm in wait-and-see mode now, and I think everybody should be. But I want to go back to something you said. You agreed maybe with me this idea of, I think we both understand that Kyle Allen, who knows this offense, would be better off in week one if they don't have a traditional offseason. My point is, they shouldn't have an open competition that Allen can win. You need to let Haskins play. You need
regardless of how he performs. You
absolutely.
Just got to throw him to the wolves.
This team's not good this year. They're not going anywhere. They're not making the playoffs. And if they did, who cares? They can't make a run. So you play Haskins, you see what he is. Because my point is that at the end of this year, you've got to know, am I going forward with him or am I finding another quarterback?
I'm
not waiting until year 3 to do that. I don't know about you.
No, I'm fine with it. I think if he got beat out by Kyle Allen, that tells you a lot. But I'm with you. If you want to just get, this is the year to find out, let's throw him to the Wolves. They're not going anywhere. Fine. I'm fine with that. I'm just saying if you are basing it on who's better, I think Kyle Allen could beat him out in an open competition. Just because he's a veteran, he's 3 years, he started more games. And Dwayne is still very, very young and new to all this. But here's the question I have for you.
Can I say something real quick on that?
Yeah.
If he's good enough to beat out Dwayne Haskins right now, then Haskins probably shouldn't have gone 15th overall.
Well, I think we both agree that that's still up in for grabs. I'm not convinced he should have gone 15.
Yeah, I mean, because the Allen, while I think he's okay, and he was, I agree with you. I think he's the perfect backup in
this
offense. Yeah, he had some really good games. He had some debacle games as well. That's kind of what a backup is. But you should not be kind of at risk when you bring a player like Kyle Allen in of upsetting the quarterback.
You should not be.
When you drafted a guy in the early first round last year.
You should not be.
You were about to get into something else, so we'll get into that next here on Kyle Allen and Dwayne Haskins. You guys can call us as well. 800-636-1067 is the number. Eric and Grant with you on the Cube. D'Angelo Hall came on Grant and Danny on Friday after he made some comments on NFL Network about maybe being worried that Dwayne Haskins wouldn't be the starter for the Redskins early this season. So we wanted to get him on. I want to play this clip for you again and listen to what he says about Haskins versus Kyle Allen. And, you know, for me, I just sub in the name like Cam Newton or Jameis Winston, and what he's saying makes a lot of sense. A credentialed longtime starter who's had a ton of success. It's interesting to me that he thinks a player the caliber of Allen, who, you know, kind of fell apart in the stretch run last year in what was overall a decent first sample as a starter, considering that he was an undrafted free agent for Carolina, is only 24 years old. Here's what he had to say about him versus Haskins.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm absolutely worried for Haskins keeping the job because I want to see this organization in a good place in 5 years, in 10 years, and, you know, in the next 2-3 years, not necessarily just next season. And so if you think about how this offseason already has unfolded, you know, it's very similar to the year of the lockout where you're not going to get a lot of time with your teammates is looking like. And so knowing that Kyle Allen has the advantage of knowing this offense, having played in meaningful games, you know, with this coaching staff, you know those guys trust him. And, you know, to bring him into a quarterback room that, you know, that has Dwayne Haskins, a young, impressionable player who's still trying to figure out who he is as a player in this league, who had great success in college. You know, I've always felt like if you're going to give the keys to a guy, give the keys to the guy. Don't put anybody behind him, especially in this situation that's going to just cause any type of distraction or any added pressure to Dwayne Haskins. And bringing in a guy like Kyle Allen, does he help his football team? Absolutely. Will he hurt, in some way, Dwayne Haskins' progression? I think so.
EB, if Ron Rivera just took over in Arizona and they brought Kyle Allen behind Kyler Murray, it wouldn't lead to anybody looking over their shoulder.
Right.
If he was in New York with Daniel Jones and he brought Kyle Allen in, Daniel Jones all of a sudden isn't at risk of losing his job. If he's saying Dwayne Haskins is, then I think that tells us something about Haskins, no?
Yeah, it just tells you what his opinion is of Haskins. He's not sold on him. And I don't disagree with him, frankly. Here's the question I wanted to ask you before we went to break. So if you had to put a percentage on it, when this is all said and done, is Dwayne Haskins going to end up being the guy? Like at the end of this year, are we going to say he's the guy? From 0 to 100%, what is your percentage?
My confidence level that he is the long-term answer.
Yes.
I would put that, the percentage chance of me saying definitively that he's the guy at the end of this year at, I would say, 30%.
Oh, you're lower than me. I was going to say 50-50. I mean, I'm completely on the fence.
I'm definitely not 50-50. I got six quarters of good, and everything else worries me.
I got that, too. But and that's why I say Kyle Allen, I think, could beat him out.
Yes, he can beat him out. There's no denying that, in my opinion. But I'm not allowing him to. I'm not having a competition.
Yeah. You're just taking that off the table. You're taking that off the table.
Exactly. Unless it's so bad that it's embarrassing. Like, I'll give you an example. When I was on the Skins beat, and you guys were so good to me, and I still appreciate that and how often you guys had me on and helping me out and helped me a ton. But when I was on that Skins beat covering the Redskins and Mike Shanahan at the time, I remember having a talk with Shanahan off to the side one day when he was benching John Beck to go back to Rex Grossman. And he was basically like, listen, I have to bench John Beck to go to Rex Grossman, not because I want to. He's like, I'd like to see in this offense what Beck could become by the end of the year or whatever. He's like, but I got veterans coming up to me saying, you're losing us, man. You're losing the locker room. We know Rex is better.
Exactly.
We know this. We see it at practice. And if Haskins is so bad at practice or in games or something and Kyle Allen is so much better, then at some point you have to make that change. I don't think that's going to be the case. And if that is the case, that he's that bad and Allen is obviously better, Cousins Griffin style, then you know that Haskins isn't the guy and none of this matters anyway.
Yeah.
Because at that point you're able to move on. Just like Griffin, still a backup, hasn't become a starter anywhere, very obviously. So I'm not worried about it because stressing about it, you know, as a Redskins fan, like, oh, what if it happens? Then, well, he wasn't the guy. Then that's good to find that out in year one with Ron Rivera. I'm not waiting to year three, though. Like, one thing Danny and I have talked about a lot, Danny's been pro Haskins from the beginning, really, really big believer in the guy. But, like, I get the sense when we talk that Danny, as of at the end of this season, is going to basically be of the belief that, well, last year wasn't fair to him because of Gruden versus Snyder. And this year hasn't been fair to him because of the offseason and coronavirus. So we got to wait till year three. I'm not doing that. Like, after 2 years, I need to have seen enough or not and move on.
Right. No, I'm with you. I'm willing to make that call. I feel bad for guys because I do think it's the most difficult job in professional sports.
No doubt. But you know how many guys have gotten the raw end of the stick? Like Patrick Ramsey got screwed.
Oh, so
Jason
many guys.
Jason Campbell got screwed. He's just the next in the long list of them.
Yeah, yeah. It's not fair, but that's reality. It's not fair. So I do feel for him, but
Me
I think
too.
You're right. I think the referendum is what does he do this year, and we're going to know. We're going to move on, or we're just going to roll the dice with him.
But so you're at 50-50.
I think it's 50-50, and I'm being optimistic.
Okay, and let's talk about the good part of that. Because for me, the 30% is he is way more athletic than I thought he was when they drafted him. I kind of thought he'd like center blocks for feet, stand in the pocket, kind of like a big like a Roethlisberger, like when he moves, it looks labored. He's not that. He's got a huge body, but he moves pretty well. He's got obviously the very strong arm. We all know that. But I also have been really impressed by his competitiveness. Like, you can see this tangible, late in games. Doesn't matter that he's 0-for-17 from the floor. He'll take the three. I think he's got whatever that is in him. So I like that as well. And then the last six quarters bumped my percentage up pretty substantially. Where does your 50% positive come from?
Well, I like what he did late. Like you say, I do think he's a better athlete than you think. I think he's got the big-time arm that he can do it. I like that he performed at a high level in college. I have more questions than I do things that I like, to be honest with you. My questions are more the intangibles, the work ethic. I'm a little concerned. I've always, from day one, said I'm a little bit concerned that this kid is more interested in being a superstar and living the life, being about that life, than about just like it's too much social media. It's too much defensiveness on social media. It's just that generation.
I've only ever seen one guy on that level, and I don't pay attention to all the quarterbacks with every team.
Yeah.
But the good ones, you see what they do on social media. Him and Griffin.
Exactly.
That's it. That's the list.
I know, and I don't like it. And I said it from the beginning, and people attacked me. You know, but I don't like it. I'm a boomer. Okay, boomer, whatever.
Right.
That's the stuff that I don't like. And also, just fair. Frankly, the inexperience. And you know, he wasn't what they said. You know, they were leaking that hey, this kid can't even get it to the line of scrimmage. He can't get us to the huddle. He can't call the plays. None of that proved to be true, right? So I think that was unfair.
Well, in fairness, they were saying it early, and like that Giants game was such a debacle that it was probably fair at one point. I think he snapped.
Well, he wasn't prepared.
Quickly.
He wasn't prepared, but it wasn't like he couldn't even take him to line scrimmage. So I don't know. I'm probably more pessimistic than my 50-50, but I'm a Redskins fan deep down. I want this kid to succeed.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be on the side of 30%.
And yeah, I think people need him to succeed, too. I mean, if you're back in that quarterback bucket, that can go on for years and years. Let me read you a tweet real quick I want you to react to because this is interesting. Wookie of the Year says, I know Tua got hurt, But how are they married to a guy who was a reach at 15 and picked by another administration? Tua was a slam dunk number one overall pick before Joe Burrow put the cape on last year. So without getting in even to the specifics of Tua and all these things, I would start with this. Picking a guy at 15 that I think by now we all agree with was a reach at 15. Wasn't viewed that way that night. But we all now know with how raw he was and what we saw last year, it was definitely a reach. Tua, with his profile, you just take his name out, you put someone else in, what he was supposed to have been before last year. I'll tell you this right now, EB, if not for his injury history, and I don't just mean the hip that he's coming back from right now, his entire injury history, concussions and otherwise, and the jaw and everything that he had at Alabama over years and years, you know, with his body, he seems to get hurt a lot. That's the only reason I'm not in the Tua camp. But generally speaking, we saw this with the Cardinals. They drafted Rosen. It looked like it wasn't going to work. They went and got Kyler Murray. This is what teams do. It's a different administration. You inherit a quarterback. If you don't love him, you go get your guy. We see it with GMs and coaches all the time. It isn't crazy to think that it's a good practice for them if they really, really like Tua to draft that guy. It's obviously a controversial, difficult situation, but they inherited a quarterback who was a reach, who has more bad than good on film from last year, and they now have a pick at number two and could get a household college name who was a higher profile player than Haskins. The tweet makes some sense in terms of why isn't this a conversation. It was for a little while. It's kind of disappeared.
I think it's just because they just want it to pay off. But if you had to put your money on who's going to be a better pro, you're going to bet right now, you got to put your money and go to the the MGM Grand or whatever, the new sports book, and you're going to say, who's going to have a better pro career, Tua Tagovailoa or Dwayne Haskins? I'm putting my money on Tua.
Me too. Should they draft him then?
Sometimes it's just circumstances prevent you from that kind of thing. I mean, I don't know. You just start dating a girl and then you see a hotter one walk by. Should you dump that? You know what I mean? You just married this chick. Like, you got to at least see if she could.
But are you married to him or are you dating him?
Well, when you're the first round pick, you married him. Now that, listen,
you think?
Divorces happen all the time, so you can get a quickie divorce. But when you select a quarterback with the 15th pick, you did marry. You walked down the aisle with him.
Okay, but did someone else marry him? I mean, Ron Rivera didn't marry this guy.
It's true.
Scott Turner didn't marry this guy. They just kind of showed up, and this is the person living in their house.
Let me tell you something. If they could unload Haskins, and I think it would have to be a draft day trade where they could unload Haskins. So let's say Miami wants to move up. They'll take our Haskins and another pick or whatever. I wouldn't hate it.
If they could get a two back, and they took two at two, I think it would be fascinating. They need so many things that I still hope either you go Chase Young and or trade down and add a bunch of picks, because they need a corner who can play. They need some pass rush. They desperately need a tight end.
They
desperately need a left tackle. It'd be really nice to get help from McLaurin at wideout. I mean, Tua and nothing else doesn't make you a whole lot better. But if he's decidedly better than Haskins over the next several years, that at the most important position, at the position that's kind of the end-all be-all, it should definitely be something they're discussing if they believe internally that he is considerably an upgrade.
I think what's preventing them is what you said at the beginning, is the injury history. If it wasn't for the injury history,
agreed,
I think they probably would make that move.
If he had a clean bill of health and all along this year was healthy and throughout his career he just kind of started, was on the field every Saturday, I think the Redskins would either be taking him at two or they'd be trading back for all the draft picks and the Dolphins would be coming up.
I think they'd take him. I think it'd be a Josh Rosen situation. And I don't think that's ideal. I think it's a nightmare situation, but I think that's what they would do if he was healthy.
Eric and Grant with you on the Fan. We'll put a bow on our broadcast. I want to bounce a couple of debate questions off EB before we get out of here next. Plus, we'll set the table for Danny and Pete at noon right here on the Fan. Eric and Grant on the Quarantine. On 106.7 The Fan.
The Q, I like it. I'm feeling it.
The Q rage is on. I like it. I feel good about it. So wrote a piece with Ben Stanig and Tariq El-Bashir this week on The Athletic. And, you know, we're just kind of churning out some fun content to people, a little diversion, and give people something to read. And one of the projects we put together, I wanted to get your expertise and analysis on. You've been in the market way longer, and you've seen more players and older than I am. So we were like a three-person panel that kind of voted on this, but we went 0 to 99. Which DMV, D.C. area players, wore their jersey number the best? And so we literally ranked, you know, every position. I mean, this took hours of phone calls and work and stuff. We went 0 to 99 for the best player to wear every number in the city, okay? I won't go through all the numbers with you, but we have several numbers where we actually have debates, and we are turning in our final arguments effectively for these debates, and the piece will come out early this week.
You want me to give you just sort of my blank reaction?
Exactly. Okay, right. So I'll give you the numbers. You tell me what you think, and then I'll tell you who I'm advocating for.
Well, why don't you give me the names first before you even give me the numbers? But you can do both. Oh, no, you mean that? I thought you meant like their career numbers. No.
I don't have those in front of me. The number that they were. So number three is a debate, okay? Among the people listed at number three, Bradley Beal, Caron Butler, Juan Dixon, Allen Iverson, Mark Mosley, Scott Stevens. And the debate has come down to basically Iverson versus Dixon as to who's going to win number three. Your first thought at that number is what?
I have to, between those two, or do I?
Or if you would go off the grid to somebody else that we didn't even move into the finalist category.
Well, I mean, it's so sick, but I thought of Mosley. When you said three, that's one of the first thoughts that I had.
A lot of people have said that. He was a kicker that won the MVP award.
Yeah, Mosley was one of the first. Like, if you say three, that's one of the first numbers I'm going to come up with.
If you're debating between Iverson and Dixon, who would you go with?
As far as importance to the DMV?
Exactly. Iverson, only 2 years at Georgetown, was kind of iconic nationally. Dixon, maybe less national relevance, but 4 years at Maryland, and they won the national title.
I don't know, man. That is just a really tough one. Oh. I'm a Maryland grad, so my instinct is to go Juan, and Maryland winning the national championship has affected me more than any other title. But Allen Iverson is somebody that this area always embraced, even though he played in Philly. And even though he was from, you know, Virginia Beach or wherever he was from, Norfolk area, whatever, I felt like he was one of ours, you know what I mean? And his impact was bigger. I might say Iverson.
Wow.
I might say Iverson, and I'm probably wrong.
That stuns me as a Maryland guy.
I'm probably wrong about that.
Okay, let's go to number 10. So there are only a handful of the numbers that we didn't answer already. Number 10, so the debate is between Bobby Dandridge of the Bullets, Robert Griffin, and Marco Echeverry of D.C. United. I mean, there's some other guys like Kelly Miller, Bobby Carpenter from the Caps. First thought on 10, where do you go?
So it's Dandridge, Marco Echeverry. I mean, I'm kind of a closet D.C. United guy. It'd be hard for me to say Marco Echeverry. And then Dandridge is hard for me to say. But what was the other one? Robert?
Griffin.
Can't be Robert. I'll go Bobby Dandridge.
Would you really?
Yeah.
Is it because Griffin only had the one great year?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that great year was awesome. It was one of the best years.
It was unbelievable.
In the last 20. But I can't. What 1 year you don't own the number after 1 year.
Number 11 is one of the all-time great numbers in DC sports history. So we're debating between Mike Gartner, who scored almost 400 goals with the Capitals, Elvin Hayes, who's one of the great Bullets and, you know, NBA players of his era, Ryan Zimmerman with the Nationals, Mr. National. And then Elena Deladon has made the final podium as maybe the greatest women's basketball player ever, obviously winning a title with the Mystics. But I think it comes down to Gartner, Hayes, and Zimmerman. Where are you at on that?
Well, I would actually throw in the debate Rippon.
So Rippon is one of the guys listed. The others that are listed are Ty Jerome, Virginia, Rippon, Redskins, Halpern, Capitals, and Allie Krieger from the Freedom of the Spirit. But, yes.
I'm older than you, so I think Elvin Hayes runs away with it.
Really?
But I'm older, so, yeah.
Zim's not close?
Not for me. I love Ryan Zimmerman. He's a great guy, but, I mean, he's not Elvin Hayes.
No, and that's why I'm asking. I mean, obviously, my file on him exists because of video and being able to look things up, but there's no attachment for me there.
Yeah.
Number 24 is interesting. Champ Bailey, Jeff Malone, Dawn Staley, Virginia women's basketball, Kermit Washington from American, And the debate basically is down to like Champ Bailey versus Dawn Staley.
So funny, when I think of 24, again, showing my age, I think of Kelvin Bryant. Now, Kelvin Bryant didn't have the impact that those guys had.
No.
Who was the first one that you said? Oh, Champ Bailey?
Champ.
I can't
Malone,
give it to Champ.
Dawn Staley. Champ was actually here for 5 seasons. Basically,
you know what?
80 games.
I'm going Jeff Malone.
Are you?
I'm going Jeff Malone. I was a
you
Jeff
got,
Malone
you got
guy.
You got some hardcore hoops in you from back in the day, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. I mean, I was a Jeff Malone guy.
All right, so here's the last one I've got for you. Number 71. Charles Mann or Trent Williams, who wore 71 better in Washington? Now, there's some recency effect with Williams being a huge pain in the butt, but seven-time Pro Bowler, was on his way to the Ring of Honor, was on his way maybe to the Hall of Fame. Obviously, Charles Mann, third all-time in sacks with the organization.
Trent probably better, but I've had more enjoyment watching Charles Mann.
Because he's on the great championship team.
Well, yeah, and look, it's just more fun to watch a guy sack a quarterback than protect one. It's just more fun for me. You know what I mean? Like defensive ends stand out more than tackles do.
Yeah.
So for me, it's Charles Mann, but I think Trent Williams is probably a better player.
I think we probably would easily go Trent Williams collectively if not for what's going on right now, but it's just impossible for that not to be a factor. I mean, it has changed right. The narrative in some way of how he represented 71 in the city. The story, again, available on The Athletic right
I
now,
like
theathletic.com. Yeah, it's 0 to 99, which DMV players wore their jersey number
We have
the
real
best.
99s? We have some good 99s?
Well, so that's the thing is, no, we don't have great 99s. We don't have great a lot of numbers, but the winner for 99 was Jaime Moreno from DC United. The runner-up was Andre Carter of the Redskins.
Yeah, I would go Jaime Moreno. But, I'm a closet DC United guy.
Arakpo, 98. Went Lorenzo over Sterling Palmer and Ronaldo Win, 97. But, yeah, I'll tell you, there was one that was actually hilarious where if you want to get on this list in DC.
You just got to wear that number?
All you have to do is wear this number. For number 49, because Bobby Mitchell, this is for the last 50 years, okay? So Bobby Mitchell didn't qualify. It's 50 years, so Sammy Ball didn't make it for 33. In the last 50 years, the most successful number 49 in the D.C. sports landscape, Reynaldo Lopez, who pitched a handful of games for the Nationals before they traded him for Adam Eaton. He's the number 49 on this
You're
list.
You're kidding.
How deep of a cut did I have to get Reynaldo Lopez on that
list? You got
to
get a 49 on the Skins. We haven't had a 49 on the Skins any better than that.
I don't know if anybody wears it because of Bobby Mitchell. It might be a number that nobody wears now.
Yeah, they locked it down.
You that's know, why. So they don't retire numbers, but nobody wears
that
kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what they did. You're right.
But on all the teams, like nobody at number 40, Reynaldo Lopez had a 10-strikeout game once. What do you got on the schedule today, EB, when you get off the air with me?
I'm going to go clean my groceries. My groceries from Target that are sitting in my garage right now.
Are you? Is that spray down with some like bleach? What are you doing?
No, I use my wipes, my silly Clorox wipes.
Yeah.
And I will wipe everything down. I'll take the California pizzas out of the boxes, put them in the freezer. I will wipe everything down, and then any fruit that's there, we have from Trader Joe's fruit soap that you put on your fruit and veggies, and then we'll wash those, and then hopefully we don't get the Rona.
Well, I will be watching you guys in the mornings as I get ready for my show all week and listening on radio.com to The Junk, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Obviously, after EB's off the air, you can listen to Grant and Danny from 10 to 2 with myself and Danny Ruye, who's coming by with Pete Medhurst at the top of the hour in about 5 minutes. Hey, man, you know it's cool for me to get to do this.
Thank you.
As a longtime listener of The Junks, it's fun.
Thank you, buddy. I always enjoy it. And thank you to Brennan back there for Dar for pushing the buttons, making it all happen.
How about braving the elements, getting out into the studio to make it all work? So
yeah,
thank
putting
you.
His life on a line.
Congrats to Brennan, by the way. Moved into his new house yesterday.
And
how
good luck
that?
To you tomorrow on your virtual house for sale. Why don't you put it on Twitter so people can check it out?
Maybe I will. It's not quite like when they put the celebrity houses for sale for like $8 million. And we're like, oh, this is it. Interesting. Dar, night number 2 tonight at your house. Is that the deal?
Yep, looking forward to it.
Congrats,
all right, get
buddy.
Some good sleep. Next up, right here on The Fan, Danny and Pete. Keep it locked in on 106.7, and thanks for listening.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.